Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Cat's Paw Liability Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On November 2, 2010, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Staub v. Proctor Hospital. The question in this case is, in what circumstances can an employer be held liable under the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Act for discharging a reservist based on bias against military service held by employees who may have influenced but did not make the discharge decision? To discuss the case, we have Victoria Dorfman, who is an associate at Jones Day. Ms. Dorfman is on an amicus brief in support of the respondent. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Dorfman.
Staub v. Proctor Hospital is the court's second attempt in the last 2 years to address under what circumstances an employer may be held liable based on the unlawful intent of officials who caused or influenced but did not actually make the ultimate employment decision. The first time the court took up that issue was in 2006 in BCI Coca-Cola v. EOC, which was in the context of Title VII litigation. Parties, however, moved to dismiss before oral argument. This case arises in the context of USERRA, Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act, which states that a person who is a member of a uniformed service shall not be denied employment, reemployment, retention employment, promotion by an employer on the basis of that membership. The statute defines employer to include any person or entity to whom the employer has delegated the performance of employment-related responsibilities. The basic facts of this case are fairly straightforward, even though the parties were disputing certain factual aspects even in their merits brief in the Supreme Court. Vincent Staub was an angiography technologist at Proctor Hospital. He was pretty competent at his job, but on numerous occasions he displayed bad attitude to his superiors and his colleagues, and generally had a hard time functioning effectively as a member of a team. He was even terminated at one point for insubordination, but was allowed to return on the condition that he behaves himself. Staub was also an Army reservist and had to take time off for military exercises, and that affected the scheduling of work shifts for others on his team. Two of his supervisors, Mulally and Karenchuk, made anti-military remarks and gave him bad reviews. The incident that precipitated Staub's termination was Staub's absence during his working hours from his station, although Staub claimed that his supervisors knew where he was. The person who had actually terminated Staub was Linda Buck, VP of Human Resources. It is undisputed that she harbored herself no anti-military bias. There is some dispute as to the extent of her investigation prior to terminating Staub. It seems rather clear that Linda Buck looked at his personnel file, which included his earlier termination and numerous write-ups for bad attitude, including both from his supervisors with anti-military bias and those without. She also heard Staub's explanation about his whereabouts as she was terminating him, and she received and responded his 5-page letter outlining his side of the story as part of the grievance procedure. She also heard, over the years, various complaints about Staub. Staub sued the hospital under USERRA, trying to hold it liable for the anti-military bias of Mulally and Karenchuk. The jury rendered the verdict in his favor. The Seventh Circuit reversed on the cat's paw theory. The inspiration for this theory was a fable by La Fontaine, The Monkey and the Cat. In that fable, a monkey persuades an unsuspecting cat to snatch chestnuts from the fire. The cat does it, but burns her paw, while the monkey gets the chestnuts. Thus, cat's paw is a tool or one used by another to accomplish his purposes. In Staub's case, the Seventh Circuit held that the hospital is not liable, unless the bias supervisor, such as Mulally and Karenchuk in this case, had a singular influence over Linda Buck, the person who actually terminated Staub. The court explained that in deciding to terminate Staub, Buck exercised her reasonable judgment after she undertook her own investigation. To be sure, the court noted, the investigation could have been more robust. Staub's third position was granted. And in the merits briefing, Staub took a position that usura imposes liability for actions of employer's agents, and that employer is liable so long as a biased official performed acts as an agent of employer. Staub criticized the Seventh Circuit Catspaw approach as a departure from settled agency principles. Under the Seventh Circuit approach, an employer would be absolved from liability as long as the last official in the decision-making chain had no unlawful purpose. Staub argued that it should make no difference whether or not the discriminatory official was the last or ultimate decision-maker. Staub also contended that singular inference on the final decision-maker is an improper limitation having no basis in usura. Under Staub's approach, the hospital is liable since Mulally and Karenchuk, who had anti-military bias, acted as agents of the hospital. As Staub supervisors, they were engaged in traditional employment-related responsibilities when they reported Staub's actions or provided information about him to human resources. The Solicitor General's office came in as amicus on Staub's side. The SG agreed with Staub that the Seventh Circuit singular inference standard had no basis in usura. Rather, the SG proposed, as it did in BCI Coca-Cola, that agency and causation principles inform imposition of liability here. The SG noted that usura incorporates agency principles by defining an employer as any person to whom the employer had delegated the performance of employment-related responsibilities. Thus, relying on principles of vicarious liability, SG argued that when an employer delegates authority to a supervisor to engage in customary employment responsibilities, such as monitor employees or report on their performance, a supervisor acts fall within the scope of your employment. And if a supervisor acts in a discriminatory manner and causes an adverse employment action, the employer is liable. Similarly, under the principles recognized in Burlington and Farragher, which are this court's Title VII cases, the employer is liable under the aided in the agency relation principle. SG also emphasized that to establish a violation of usura, employee must show causation that the supervisor misuse of delegated authority was a substantial factor in the adverse employment action. And a supervisor's independent investigation into the circumstances leading up to the termination may break the chain of causation. The SG argued that under the facts of this case, there was no independent investigation because, according to SG, Linda Buck merely looked at Staub's personnel record. Respondent Proctor Hospital defended the Seventh Circuit approach. The hospital also described in great detail all of Staub's numerous prior offenses that were noted and written up by a variety of supervisors and colleagues, including those harboring no anti-military animus. The hospital also emphasized that Linda Buck has undertaken a thorough investigation prior to terminating Staub, which included hearing Staub's side of the story and Linda Buck's knowledge acquired over the years of Staub's numerous transgressions. And thus, the hospital argued there is no liability under the cat's paw because Linda Buck was not a pawn in the schemes of Mulally and Karenchuk, who were Staub's supervisors offended by his military service. Several organizations filed amicus briefs. The Chamber of Commerce, which Jones Day represents, filed a brief in support of the hospital. The Chamber argued that although the court below did not use the correct framework to analyze the question presented, it nevertheless correctly held that the hospital is not liable. The Chamber of Commerce approach in this case was similar to its position in BCI Coca-Cola, and notably in BCI Coca-Cola, the SG brief expressed agreement for the Chamber's framework. The Chamber argued that to hold an employer liable for an allegedly biased act of one of its employees, the plaintiff must show two things. One, that the employer is legally responsible for the act under applicable agency law principles. And second, that the allegedly biased act actually and proximately caused the adverse employment action issue. With respect to the agency prong, employers should not be held liable for all frolics and detours of their employees. Rather, an employer should be responsible only for actions that it has delegated authority to an employee to take. With respect to the causation prong, plaintiff must show actual causation, which is factual causation, a and proximate causation, which is legal causation. Under this agency and causation principles, the chamber argues the decision below is correct. Morelli and Karenchuk may have been exercising delegated authority for which the hospital is properly responsible, but their acts were not the proximate cause of the adverse employment action issue. Under applicable proximate causation principles, there should be no liability where a non-biased decision maker made the actual decision and engaged in an independent evaluation of the matter. The policies of USERRA, like the policies of other employment discrimination statutes, aim to encourage employers to create and follow reasonable anti-discrimination policies and procedures. Where an employer has done so, these policies are not well served by imposing liability on the employer. And here the chamber argued, the record establishes that Buck, the ultimate decision maker, was non-biased, and that she acted responsibly in determining that Staub had to be terminated. This fact suffices to establish that any alleged bias of Morelli and Karenchuk was not the proximate cause of Buck's decision to terminate Staub. The oral argument took place on November 2nd, which Justice Kagan recused because she was still at the HG's office when the HG amicus brief was submitted to the court. The justices posed numerous hypotheticals to petitioner responding to the HG. The justices expressed dissatisfaction with all of the tests proposed. The problem identified by Justice Kennedy with the petitioner's approach is that he wants employers to be social insurers, which is not really broad liability rule. And the problem with the respondents and the Seventh Circuit Cat's Paw approach is that it has no basis in the statute. On rebuttal, petitioner made a peculiar suggestion that maybe the court should limit this case to USERRA only. That seems odd given that in his cert petition, petitioner cited cases addressing employer liability under Title VII and other employment discrimination statutes as evidence of a split warranting the court's review. It is unlikely that the court will explicitly confine its decision to USERRA. It also seems doubtful that the court will adopt the Cat's Paw test. However, it may still affirm based on a test somewhat less generous to employer or remand for further fact-finding.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.